Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday Night, Tailgate.
All right, now back in making his eighth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Rangers, Yankees, and Braves outfielder Billy Sample. Let me remind you about Billy's background. He is from Roanoke, Virginia, played in the major leagues from 1978 to 1986. Singled on the very first pitch he ever saw in the majors back in 78 off Jerry Augustine of the Brewers. In 83, Billy finished fifth in the American League in stolen bases. Batted 274 with a 331 on-base percentage, a 732 OPS. He was the 10th toughest player to strike out that season, and he was third in fielding percentage amongst left fielders. Billy played in 826 games over the course of his career, had just under 2,800 plate appearances with 46 home runs, 230 RBIs, and he had a career batting average of 272, and he stole 98 bases. Billy is now an accomplished screenplay writer, producer, and broadcaster. After his playing days, Billy helped broadcast games for the Braves, Mariners, and Angels. He's written articles for Sports Illustrated, the New York Times, and the USA Today's Baseball Weekly. Wrote and produced a movie that he, created himself, Reunion 108, a satirical comedy with a baseball backdrop. You can find it available as a DVD on Amazon or on the movie's IMDb page. He's written a book titled A Year in Pinstripes and Then Some about his one season with the Yankees, which is available on Amazon.com and is 5-star rated. He's been doing some stand-up comedy, and he's just a wonderful guy and been a wonderful guest here with us on TNT. We're excited he's back with us again tonight. Hey, Billy, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Billy.
Chris, where were you when I needed an agent? Jeez. Hey, what a nice intro.
You still may need one. I'm still available, Billy. It's not too late, my friend.
Yeah, but 10% of nothing doesn't leave you much. But thank you. And you were talking about a time, you and Bob were talking about a time when players needed jobs in the offseason. It took me until my third year before I made enough money that I didn't have to find income in the offseason. Nowadays,
is that right? What did you
so
do in the offseason?
1 year I went to winter ball, played in Caguas and in Puerto Rico, and 2 years before that I played in Valencia in Venezuela. Loved both areas, but I was not a very good winter ball player. And when somebody said, "Hey, Sample, eres malo," and I would just agree, "See, es la verdad, I'm bad."
So, Billy, catch us up. I understand you're recently back from a trip to Alaska. What had you up there?
I wanted to fight the mosquitoes again. I think I fought them to a split decision, but they were closing in at the final bell. I take dryer sheets and stick them in my cap, and I think that thwarts them. But for a while there, oh, my goodness, they're the size of outside linebackers. And quick like running backs. But I had worked with a team. Part of my ascension towards the major leagues was playing collegiate summer league ball. I played in Virginia in the Valley League. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, they inducted me into their Hall of Fame. And
instead
of being gracious, I said, what took you so long? Geez, I'm not getting any younger. No, actually. What do you mean John Kruk and David Eckstein went in front of me? But it was nice. It was a great program for me. And I played my first year there. I played with three other guys who would ascend to the major leagues as well. Jim Pankowitz, Dave Tobin, and Gene Richards. And Gene Richards had the National League rookie stolen base record before Tim Raines came along a couple of years later and broke it. He could just low fly. And that was the caliber of competition that we had. Denny Walling was in the league. Tom Brookins, who played on the 84 Tigers team that started out 35-5, he was in the league. And you knew when you were going out there and you could measure up with those guys that things were looking up. And you still had to struggle through and play in the minor leagues and get to the majors. But at least it gave me a sense that I belonged. And so anyway, long story short, so they have a league in Alaska as well. And back in the day, they had the better league, I think, the best league. And they had The Gold Panthers in Fairbanks had Tom Seaver and Dave Winfield go through there, and Dave Kingman and Jason Giambi and Barry Bond. So they have a lot of history. So I sort of go there as a life coach because I've made all the mistakes that these kids are trying to make. And and they're just as crazy as we were back then. You really have to want it a little bit, I think, to play in the summer league. In fact, when I played, I had a job during the day. Well, at least they said I had a job. I was a painter at the college, but for the most part, I just held a brush up and tried not to get paint on my face when I was falling asleep. And then having to play that night and then coming back maybe an hour, hour and a half over the mountains and coming back and doing the same thing the following day. So it was tough. The minor leagues could be tough, but sometimes when the guys would complain, I'd say, yeah, let me tell you about tough. I had to work during the day and play at night and have enough energy to try to impress some scouts, but it all worked out. I was a 10th round draft pick after my junior year, but I give a lot of credit to the Shenandoah Valley League for helping my ascension to the big leagues.
Billy, one of the things I've been... That's okay. One of the things I've been curious about with your career, and I say it when you were doing your introduction, is you got a hit on the very first pitch you saw when you came up to the majors, and you were with the Rangers at the time. And I'm curious about it for two reasons. One, did you go up there looking to swing at the first pitch, whether that was, you know, hey, it's my first major league pitch, I'm going to take a hack at it, or, you know, knowing that, you know, Augustine was going to, you know, try to get ahead and you might get a fastball right away based on some scouting report. They say, look, you know, get ready because this guy's going to throw one down the middle to you. And then secondly, after you got the hit, you were immediately pulled from the game for Bump Wills. The hit he pitched ran for you, and then you played the rest of the game. What happened?
Well, first, you've given me a lot of credit that I really don't deserve because you would have analyzed that first pitch the same way your first plate appearance. I didn't. I was a first ball fastball hitter. It was just something to hit. It was a sinking fastball low and away, and I lined it in the right center. In fact, Sixto Lescano, the right fielder, got a glove on it with a dive, but couldn't come up with it, and I'm at first base, and I'm just cheesing my first hit, and I've got a big grin that I couldn't wash off my face, and here comes Bump to pinch run for me. Actually, the whole day started. We leave from Tucson, where I played AAA ball, Tucson to Phoenix, Phoenix to Chicago, Chicago to Milwaukee, where we met the club, and by the time I walked into the locker room, I was just like a lot of the guys that came up with me were just kind of tired. I walked by, and there was a lineup was up. And there I was leading off. Well, okay, I didn't think I would play. We were 5.5 games out. But okay, that's fine. But then they had four beside my name, as in second base. And I thought, oh, my goodness. They don't know I hadn't played second base in a year and a half and that I burned that glove in some kind of exorcism because I think I still have the Texas League record for most errors by second base. So nobody tells me anything. I remember Doc Ellis coming by and saying, well, good luck, young man. And at that point, I'm thinking, are they really serious now? I thought it was just a fake lineup for some reason. I don't know why I thought that. So I'm running in the outfield. Richie Zist comes up to me and he says, it's just like AAA. And just kind of just quieting my nerves if I had some. But I really wasn't that nervous. But I was a little concerned about the second base part of it. And then about, 5 minutes before the start of the game, Billy Hunter, the manager, calls me over and he says, well, they thought that Bump was struggling a little bit from his right side, the switch hitting Bump Wills. And they were giving him one less at-bat from the right side. Okay, well, fine. So no matter what happened, Bump was going into the game for defense. So first pitch, I get the base hit, and I'm on first. Bump comes pinch runs for me. You're probably wondering what. I don't know what Bob Uecker probably thought was going on. Maybe he thought I pulled a muscle going from home to first. I'm not sure. But so Bump comes and pinch runs for me. Still second. I don't think we won the game. And but I had some good hits. I had some appearances, and Billy Hunter appeared to like me a little bit. In fact, during our last road trip in Seattle, before the last game, I played and I started and had a couple of hits. And as I got on the bus, and Billy was already seated, and he pats the seat beside him for me to sit down, so I do. And he tells me how he envisions the following year. Sundberg's going to catch, as everybody knows, and I don't know, Putnam at first, and Bump was going to play second, and who else? And then John Grubb and I were going to platoon in left field. And I thought, oh, okay, well, this is nice. I don't want to go back to AAA and have an opportunity to play and to impress the manager that well that he's already telling you that if you don't fall on your face totally, you've got a spot in the big leagues next year. The next day, they fired Billy Hunter.
Oh!
That was my start to the big leagues. Yeah. I go, oh, ouch. And so that's how the career started. But it was just, are you kidding me? Can I have any better timing than this?
But
in order, because we're because you're a football show, I thought, okay, I'm going to come tonight with some credibility because you guys are usually nice enough in the previous seven times I've been on that you'll allow me to talk about my football days from high school football days from 46, 7 years ago. But tonight, I told him I was going to do this too. My oldest son, who's also a screenwriter, but he played at the University of Hawaii, and he caught in 2006. He caught 10 of Colt Brennan's NCAA record 58 touchdown passes. Yay!
Wow.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
I'm impressed. Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah, I don't know what part of it I can claim. I was there in the delivery room. He looks enough like me, but outside of that, I don't know. But I was really impressed that he walked on too, as well, and Devon Best was on the team. Devon played in the NFL for quite some time, and
right.
So there's my street cred right there. I'm trying to extract some from him. I didn't have to run that one sprint for that, or get hit over the middle.
Bob, go ahead.
I told him I was going to do that too. Yeah.
And Billy, we promise if we speak to you in football season, we'll talk more about your football career. We'll agree on that right now because baseball season, I got a ton of baseball questions for you. And I was looking at the 78 Rangers team today, Billy, and ironically, you're talking about fielding. I said a lot of gold glovers on that team, like Sundberg and Hargrove and Jorgensen and guys that really could field. And also a guy that was become a good friend to this show, Al Oliver, who was in his prime pretty much at that time, hitting line drives. It seemed like a very quiet guy, Billy. Tell us more about him.
He could hit. You've alluded to it greatly, Bob. He could hit. When that foot dropped, bat hit was soon to follow, and line drive after line drive, and he would have a lot of his line drives caught. They would pretty much bunch him in the outfield, meaning that the outfielders would be closer to the center fielder, and they just throw it, and he hit line drives, and for a lifetime 303 hitter, if he hit in any luck at all, my goodness, I'd hate to think how high his batting average, his lifetime batting average would have been. I remember one day, because every once in a while, I mean, I wasn't that kind of hitter, and I would get jammed and push something over somebody's head for an RBI double or something, and one time we're in the dugout, and he came to me like he was jealous too. He'd say, How can a man get a hit like that? And I'm thinking, I've already written in those hits at the beginning of the season. Okay. Jammed here, strong thumbs. I work on those hits. I can't hit line drive like you and get caught all the time. That's just stupid hitting, Scoop. My goodness. But he could really hit. There was one day, and I think I talk about it in the book, there was one day in Detroit. It was a doubleheader. What did he go? I think he went 6-for-9. 4 homers, a double, a triple, and I think the hardest ball he hit was one of the outs. And it was just, it's like you should have paid a ticket. I should have paid to watch this performance. And I had one of the best seats in the house. And I thought, wow, that's when you, sometimes the people you work with, they do things that you're so amazed by it. And you're glad that you saw it because trying to tell somebody how great it was, sometimes things get missed in the translation. And that was one of those days. My goodness, that was just incredible. When I think about Scoop, I think about that day, and it was just, wow, just really amazing. And it kind of makes you a better hitter, Bob, because when he's hitting the ball like that, you don't want to embarrass everybody. You try to up your game a little bit too.
Yeah.
But he was a tremendous hitter. And one of the things that situations that Chris alluded to that I could add to it is that not only, or I think you said it, Bob, about the gold gloves. Well, the following year in 79, Buddy Bell came, and that was five straight years of gold gloves. And I got to see a lot of that because I'm playing behind him in left. Buddy liked to play off the line. I went well to my right, and there weren't a lot of hits going that way. And he was just tremendous and a tremendous player and a tremendous person.
I was down at Yankee Stadium yesterday, Billy, and, I actually stood on the mound of the old Yankee Stadium, which is a park now of three different fields. And, you get a little goosebump and teary-eyed if you grew up during that time and attended games and everything. And, of course, you ended up playing there. But when you first came there as a member of the Rangers, did you get that kind of feeling that it was more than just your normal cookie-cutter ballpark?
Oh, Bob, I'm really not that sentimental, but I will tell you this. When I, my first time at Yankee Stadium as a player, a performer, and we had a home stand in which I'd had a few hits. Let's say I was 8 for 21 or something like that. So I was batting 4 something. And so I'm stepping in a batter's box, and Thurman Munson says, he stops, comes back from behind the plate and yells to the infielders, who said, "We've got a 400 hitter here. We've got a 400 hitter here." And I'm kind of sheepishly saying, "Well, it's early in the season." But what he was doing was welcoming me to the fraternity, and I thought that was exceptionally nice. And it probably had another reason, because I was so sheepish that I grounded the shortstop, and like the next couple of times, but it was really nice of him to do that. And certainly now, this is almost the anniversary, well, the bad anniversary, but he died in the plane crash around this time.
Right.
In 1979, yeah. Yeah, but that was really a special moment for me.
That's cool.
And at some point, somewhere, I hope that nothing like that, it wouldn't be that great, but I tried to welcome in young players, mostly teammates, but occasionally an opponent too, to say hi and congratulations.
And Billy, you were great in the broadcast booth. I used to love watching Braves games when you were doing the broadcasting with them. So curious to get your thoughts, the transition from being a player to being up in the booth, and why don't we see you there anymore?
Well, Chris, thank you for the compliment. I had a little trouble sometimes doing things live. I didn't scene set particularly well, but I thought I called the game well. I thought some of the idiosyncrasies of the game, I thought I could bring to the people well. I tried to enhance people's appreciation of the game, and I think I did it about as well as I could do it. But I worked for a number of different teams. The Braves were the first team in 88-89, and Skip and Pete and Ernie Sr. treated me very well, which I appreciated. Then I did a year of Mariners TV, and Dave Niehaus was one, Rick Riz, and the late Dave Niehaus, and he was just fantastic. My goodness, I've been fortunate. I've probably worked with 80 different broadcasters in some venue, and I've had a great time with a lot of them. I got a chance to work a couple of games, with Ernie Harwell, the late great Hall of Famer, and worked some with ESPN. I've worked a lot with Bob Carpenter, who's been doing the Nationals games for quite some time now, and just had a great time with everybody. With almost everybody's just been fantastic. But I don't know. I've worked for a number of different people. I can't keep a job, so I think I've paid my penance to baseball for leaving more runners on in scoring position than I would have liked, and I'm satisfied with the movie that you alluded to and the book, and I think that's another way that I can sort of bring people closer to the game, and I'm pleased with that, and I thank you so much for your compliments.
Okay. Before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can follow you, stay up to date with all the things you're doing. I think we lost him, Bob. I think whether he had a bad cell or
he
was
getting
just
bad,
sort of,
yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that we won't be able to get some of the things. But I know Billy is out there on Facebook, and he's been doing some stand-up comedy. And then again, his movie is called Reunion 108. It's a satirical comedy again with a baseball backdrop. It's available out on Amazon.com. Highly recommend it. Go check it out.